The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you had a good weekend. Certainly had a nice weekend away. 13th year in a row, I've gotten away with some of my closest buddies. And that's just a blessing, so I wasn't here on Friday. For those of you on the radio, there was some technical difficulties, so they couldn't go live on the radio. But Matthew Winslow, who's been serving our state here in North Carolina diligently, an incredible man of God, and family man and businessman, Winslow Custom Homes, filled in and had some great guests, was able to stay on Facebook Live and Rumble. Yeah, we're on Rumble now, so go over to Rumble if you're a Rumble person, because we got permanently banned on YouTube, which is fine, whatever. But go over to Rumble, the Steve Noble Show. You can find us there and watch it live or hear us still on Facebook. Of course, on radio. So we're back 5x5 live today. A week from tomorrow is the election. So you're going to hear a lot of candidates on this show between now and then. I will be beating that drum until next Tuesday is over and in the books. And hopefully next Tuesday we'll know just about everything. There'll be a few states where there's things going on after the fact. As a problem that we've had in the past, but we're going to be all over that, especially here in North Carolina. But one of the things we've been paying a lot of attention to and giving a significant amount of airtime to the last couple months, right here in Wake County, the 40th, here in the Raleigh-Durham area, we're the 40th biggest market in the country, but the 14th biggest school system, the Wake County School System. And so an unprecedented opportunity to literally take control of the Wake County School Board. So I've had a lot of those candidates in here. Wing Ng is one of them, District 3. Wing, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you?
Thanks for, Steve. Thanks for letting me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So just give us an update. I know you're out there working the polls. How are things looking? And as you've spent the last few months campaigning, what are some of the biggest issues that the voters in your district, that's District 3 and then across Wake County, that are they're running into? But a quick update, and then tell us what the hot issues are with respect to a school board.
Well, the hot topic right now is what's being taught in schools. And I think that a lot of parents are concerned about what is being taught in school and what's not being taught in school. And so there's definitely a concern about the learning loss, but also the concern about some of the extra material that's being introduced into the curriculum.
Yeah, and that's and thank goodness for Loudoun County. We talked about that when you were in the studio. I'm not sure if you're in a good spot right now. We have kind of a not a great connection on the signal right now, but I know a lot of parents are exactly worried about what's going on in there with CRT and the sexualization of our children and gender ideology. I think that's top of the list for a lot of parents. But what are some of the other issues specific to Wake County that people are paying attention to, Wing?
I think that definitely the idea of what parents can how parents can be involved in the kids' education. You know, they a lot of times they feel like they are not being heard, and that's something that I've been beating the drum on. My personal example of my child I don't feel like I was being heard by the Wake County schools. And so I think that a lot of people have the same feeling, same experience.
Yeah, and that's something that I know a lot of people can relate to what you're talking about, and I know we've got a little bit of a weak connection, but Wing had and his wife had that own situation with one of their own kids and had some special concerns in terms of the type of education she needed, and it's hard to be heard. And we've got a lot of people, Wing, this year running for school board that are just kind of quote-unquote regular citizens, regular parents, a lot of people that are parents and have kids in the school system, and I think we've seen a groundswell across the country, not just here in Wake County, of parents getting involved and paying more attention. Are you encouraged by what you've seen so far just in terms of people getting out to vote?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been to the area up in Wake Forest, and it's just amazing. The line is wrapped around the building, and especially during the early afternoon time. And it's been quite consistent every single day. And the location up in Wake Forest is consistently the number one and number two in terms of the number of voters coming in.
Wow, that's good. That's good to hear. I'm so encouraged by that, and was hopeful. And we need to keep praying about that. I know we've got just a week up to the election day wing, but people can still be a part of your campaign. Wing4WakeSchools.com is the website. That's W-I-N-G. Wing4WakeSchools.com. How can people still help you besides voting for you between now and November 8th?
Definitely pray and also volunteer. I need people out there greeting the voters and telling people that this is a nonpartisan race. That we are really all for about the children and all for the kids.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Wing, thanks for being out there, my friend. We're going to try to get you back on either next Monday or Tuesday. But stay the course. We appreciate you. We're praying for you and any of you in the Wake Forest area. That's District 3 here in Wake County School Board System. District 3, that's Wing Ng, our brother in Christ that's up there fighting a good fight. Wing, thanks so much for calling in, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Great. Thanks a lot. And that's we're going to check on the phones and see what's going on and make sure we can get a good connection with our next couple of guests. But that's super important. And these are, there's a lot of people running that are not, quote unquote, political people. They're not politicians. They're not out there. They're not, radio show hosts. They're not spinning up the people and having this incredible ability to get a crowd going. These are just normal people. Most of whom I know that love the Lord, all the people that are on my list are good conservatives, just regular kind of normal people that are thinking clearly. It's amazing how much common sense has become a freak show in this country. But that's what we need. We just need people with common sense that are paying attention to the realities on the ground. I don't need a splash and dash. I don't need people that are big time orators. We just need people that are thinking clearly. If they know the Lord, that's a bonus for me. I love it if I can have some spirit in a candidate, but it's not required. I prefer it, but it's not required. But not every candidate that's a Christian is going to be a great representative. So we need people that just understand the system. They understand the issues. They're on the ground. They're willing to fight. And a lot of these parents, and you're going to hear from Becky Lou Hobbs in the next segment, she's running for Wake County School Board in District 4, are people that have been down this road, have dealt with the school system, have stood in front of the school board, not being noticed, not being recognized, not being cared for, obviously. And they just decided. We talked about that before with Wing when he was in and when Becky was in, that based on what they experienced and what they were seeing, it was just time to stop observing and stop complaining from the sidelines and being concerned from the sidelines and getting in the game. That's what Wing has done. That's what Becky Lou Hobbs has done. She's going to be on next. Becky4Wake.com. She's in District 4. Wing in District 3. Wing4WakeSchools.com. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A week from tomorrow, the big election all over the country. Of course, nationwide issues going on with control of Congress, literally the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. And then on a state-by-state basis, there's some big statewide issues going on around the country. Big Senate races, governor races. There's all kinds of things on the line here. And then go back a couple of years to Loudoun County, Virginia. That's when we all started to pay a little bit more attention, most people, to school board races when you started to find out the amazingly evil, degenerate things going on there in Loudoun County, Virginia. And you would think, well, that's closer to D.C. That's a blue state. No, it's happening all over the country. Hopefully you understand that now, which is why school board races have been a big deal. I've got all my personal picks. This is in North Carolina, especially if you're here in the Wake County area where I'm at. You can get my picks. These are my personal picks. This is not the official show. This is not any of the radio stations that I'm on. It has nothing to do with any of that. This is just Steve Noble, private citizen. These are my personal picks. I do this every 2 years. And so you can go get that list. You can go to my website, thestevenobleshow.com, thestevenobleshow.com. You can get them there. Or you can get them on my Facebook pages, my personal page, or the radio show page. But those are all there. And Wing Ng, who was on just a minute ago, he was out kind of in the sticks a little bit. That's why we had a bad connection. But he's running for District 3 in the Wake County School Board election. So he was on. And now we're going to talk to Becky Lou Hobbs. She's running in District 4. Again, another concerned parent that this really wasn't the plan a few years ago. But yet, here you are, Becky Lou Hobbs, running for office and a week away from the election. How are you?
I'm doing fine today. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and thanks for calling in and being a part of the show today. Tell us what's going on out there. It's T-minus 8 days until the election. A lot of activity on early voting. Wing was saying that at some of his polling places, the lines have been around the building. What are you running into out there, Becky, and what are the voters talking about with respect to the Wake County School Board?
Well, definitely people are coming out to vote on a regular basis. We have several early voting polls that we've been working, and all have been steady. And consistently, voters are concerned about what their kids are being taught and what they're not being taught in school. It's just a consistent theme. Parents are concerned that their scores or their kids are not learning what they need to be learning. And just want to make a change.
Yeah, and I've been encouraged by the amount of people that are paying attention now at this level with school board races. And in terms of turnout and just enthusiasm out there, Becky, what are you running into?
People are excited that there's a different voice out there. You know, they're not looking to have the same people in the office over and over again. They want more access to their kids' education. They want more access to understanding what their children are being taught, and they're looking to get behind people that are wanting that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're having some trouble with our phone system today, Becky. So if you hear some crazy stuff going on, I'm sorry about that. But that's one of the things that Wing said, and a lot of other people. Jacob Arthur was on recently. Steve Bergstrom's calling in tomorrow. Michelle Morrow is going to be back on soon. I think I talked to Cheryl Caulfield about this. It's just parents generally unaware of what's going on. I think the assumption has always been, you know, a nice teacher here and there. Perhaps most teachers are nice people, but you don't, once you drop your kids off or they could jump on the bus, you don't really know what's going on inside the school, especially when it comes to curriculum. Are more and more people kind of waking up to the reality that they don't really have that much information?
Yes, they are, and realizing that that as a whole, the schools are not communicating that information. There are teachers that individually do a tremendous effort to relay that, but you know, they're operating on their own. That puts a lot of pressure on those teachers to relay what's going on in the classroom to the parents, when that should be something that's done systemically by the schools themselves.
Yeah, and that's why we need people out there like Becky Lou Hobbs. That is, and again, I said this earlier, Becky, before we hit a commercial break, that really this is, it's amazing how just common sense and rational thinking, and an approach that includes accountability is coming across as such an outside perspective where we're at, not just in national politics, but even at the school board level. It really isn't that complicated, is it, in terms of making a positive difference in our schools?
No, I mean, every decision the school board makes needs to be gauged by, is this expenditure or staff going to provide our kids a quality education? You know, we need to get rid of the fluff. We need to stop looking at these special, you know, toward these special interest groups and just focus on the basics of getting our kids' education back to reading, writing, history, you know, some good sports and arts. You know, get away from the agendas and the programs and the special interest groups.
Yeah, there seems to be a whole lot more going on in the school system than just what you and I experienced when we were a bit younger, which is just teaching children just how to think clearly, not necessarily what to think, but how to think, and giving them the basics that they need in order to be productive members of society, not getting into all the political ideology, the worldview stuff, and especially not the CRT, which is just breeding hatred and putting people, we're resegregating the country with that stuff. And then the sexually laden information that's out there in terms of agendas and what's showing up in school in terms of books and reading selections. It's pretty amazing. What would you say has been the most hot button things that people are talking to you about out there on the campaign trail?
Believe it or not, it's actually been teaching handwriting in elementary schools, that they're not being taught how to write in cursive. The kids can't find their name. I know that sounds really basic, but it truly is that, you know, I go from door to door and I talking to parents, and I'm at the polls talking to parents, and they're just expressing basics like handwriting. And I think that's a shame that something so simple that can be easily taught is not being taught. And our kids are suffering because of it.
Yeah, because obviously with the way the school board is now and from the top down with the bureaucracy and the leadership, the basic essentials of education really isn't their primary concern. It's an agenda and their own personal worldview and the worldview of the left, and that's what has to change. Becky, how can people still be involved? Obviously, we want people to pray for you. We need people to get out and vote. Anything else they can do to help you right now with 8 days before the election?
Well, we need volunteers to cover the polls. I have 3 early election sites that are in my geographic district, but that is probably our biggest need right there. And then on election day, the same thing. We need volunteers to help cover all the different polls. And that's across the board, not just for me, but the other conservative school board candidates as well. And they can find information on that by going to my website, beckyforwake.com, and submitting a volunteer request to get the information on that.
Yeah, and that's just literally being out there to greet people at the polling site, hand out some information. There's distancing requirements and stuff, but it's not that big a deal. It's out there just being friendly, handing people information, and that does make a difference. Becky Lou Hobbs, thank you so much for calling in. That website, again, Becky4Wake.com. We're going to try to get all you guys back on next Monday and Tuesday, Becky, so I'll reach out to you again.
Okay. That'd be great. Have a great day, Steve.
Thanks, you too. Thanks so much. And it's let's be praying for all these people, whether it's here in Wake County or the school board where you're at. These are really, really important races. This is the future of our nation we're messing with here with these kids. We got to be all over it. We'll be right back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Please forgive us for some of our phone issues earlier. We had some technical difficulties. We were able to get callers through, but the quality was horrible. It sounded like we were all stuck inside of a tin can at the bottom of the ocean somewhere. But we switched over to Skype to talk to our good friend David Fisher so that we wouldn't have any of those issues. Things are sounding pretty good on my end. David, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm swimming in the ocean at the bottom of the ocean. I'm doing just fine.
Well, we're going to do 2 segments today because David's going to be a little family vacation the next week or so. So we'll miss you the next 2 Mondays. But what a great blessing to be able to spend some time with family. That's going to be awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. Something been in plans for about 9 months, and we're going to have a good time.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for you guys. So a lot going on out there that we're going to talk about between this segment and next segment, but we'll start with a passage of Scripture. I love to be in the book of Psalms, David, so thanks for taking us there. Psalm 62, 5 and 6. Let's start there, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." I got the King James Version here today. "For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." So I was talking with a fellow brother, this is actually a sister, a listener from your program, and we were talking, and you know, iron sharpens iron, and she said this scripture, "I shall not be moved." And it registered so much in my spirit that I said, you know, we got to talk about that on Steve's program. And, you know, so the storm will come in life. Whatever the storm may be, health, wealth, family, the Lord trying to make you into his image, and we sometimes resist against that. We got to say he's our rock, he's our salvation, he's our defense, he has our back, he's our paraclete. We shall not be moved from that place. So no matter what's happening in the marketplace, no matter what's happening socially, economic, spiritually, physically, we go to him as our strength, and we shouldn't be moved from that position because he is our source. Here's our all in all. And out of that comes the abundance of life. And then we can make the decisions if we need to make changes or, you know, become like Christ and change things internally in our life.
Yeah, I love that. And that last phrase, I'm so glad you had that conversation with one of our listeners, and I shall not be moved. I think that's a real challenge for all of us, whether it be a family situation, a health situation, a financial situation, or what's going on in the country right now, David, whether we're talking about the state of our investments and 401ks or whatever, or this election. This is a huge election coming up on November 8th. Millions of people voting early already, and literally control of Congress and a huge effect on the Biden administration's second half of his term. There's a lot going on, and I think it's hard for us as followers of Christ sometimes that we can stand up and say, I shall not be moved, like in Psalm 62. But you have to remember whose side you're on, who's with you, who'll never leave you nor forsake you. Also, it helps me especially to keep in mind, David, that this is all temporary, that even the loss of loved ones is temporary, and we have this future in heaven that is guaranteed by the blood of the Lamb. And wow, that should make it all the easier for us to be able to stand up and say, I shall not be moved, no matter what.
Absolutely, because the storm will come, and this is what makes our roots stronger, the tree in our life, in essence, and we become more like him through that storm, instead of saying, I don't want any storms of life. That's the very thing that causes to be like him, because we're drawn into him.
That's right. What a great point. I was with six of my closest brothers over the weekend. We do this getaway once a year. This is the 13th year. And we were all kind of joking and laughing a little bit about what a wild ride it's been this year for all of our plans to retire. Ha, ha, ha. And so the stock market indexes, you know, they're like, and every one of these guys is a believer, David. They're all mature. And they're all like, yeah, it's been a pretty awesome 6 or 7 days, but I don't expect that to last. So stock market indexes overall have done well recently, but what should we expect there? I don't think that's going to be the new norm.
No, I think, it's like when you have good news like this, you're thankful for the good news, a little bit of a mountaintop experience. I think, I'll give you a quick update with Credit Suisse, the bank over
yep.
in Switzerland, that came close to going under, really came very, very close. I think some of the good news is happening because the Saudis came in and backed it, bought 10% stake in the bank. The bank shares are down 55%. They plan to raise another $4 billion from new offerings of new shareholders that they're going to sell at a huge discount price below
wow.
how much has already dropped. And they're also hiring a syndicate of around 20 banks to conduct a big system to raise more capital. They're also cutting 9,000 jobs. So the good news is they didn't go under. Doesn't mean we're out of the woods. Whoever buys their debt is going to carry on that, kind of like Lehman Brothers buying Bear Stearns.
Yeah.
But hopefully this will be fine. I think that contributed some of the green. Boys, the good news, the Dow Industrials in October is on pace for a record, the best month since President Reagan. That's just
wow.
huge stat. It's averaged 13.4% higher in October. That's the last time it did that performance was 1987, January.
Wow.
But just remember,
yeah.
1987, October, it was Black
yeah,
Monday,
that's
22.6%
right.
drop. So we're not out of the woods, but we've had some fourth straight weeks of consecutive gains. But the market is a little bit fractured. In other words, not all areas are going up. The tech stocks are just getting crushed. Amazon stock sank 16% in a day last week. They missed
yeah.
their projected earnings. Alphabet fell 8%. Google, Microsoft, Texas Instruments, they all slid 6% to 10%. Apple down 2%. We're not out of the woods.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to throw in there Facebook, which year to date is down 72%.
Yeah.
72%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's mind-boggling.
If you look at the tech stocks, they're just gotten hammered. This is the dot-com for this tech stock rally, and it's unfortunately not done yet.
Yeah, so are the losses mostly contained to the tech sector? So we look at the NASDAQ, which is all about that. Is that like carrying the lion's share of this bad year that we've experienced, or is it spread out? You were talking about that it's not necessarily contained just to tech.
Well, the Fed rate hike is still happening on November 2nd. There's a 98% chance of raising rates 3/4 of a point in
wow,
December,
man.
60% chance of a half a point raise. So That the markets don't like that, and that's more likely going to happen. So the experts are coming out, and analysts are comparing this to a 2008 crisis. They're saying, here's how bad the top commentators, we've mentioned some of these names before, and how they see that it's going to get worse in this coming recession. Narell Rubini, he's the economics professor at Stern School of Business, and he used to work for the IMF, the Fed. So, I mean, he wrote the white paper in 2006 predicting the crash 2 years ahead of time, and they gave him a hard time, but he was right. He's saying if you combine the features of the 70s, which that was a lost decade, 10 years of no movement in stocks, stagflation, and the 2008 debt crisis, he's saying combined, this is currently just the beginning of that pain. Wait till we have real pain. And in his view, he says stocks could fall from here 40% more.
Wow.
David Rosenberg, he's an economist, he says this is just like the summer of 2008. They keep talking about this correlation. He says it's going to fall another 27%. He said 2008, the market rose briefly 17% and recovered, kind of sounds like now, and then it plunged 40% and caused a massive recession. So as in his view, we're not even close to the bottom yet. Jamie Dimon says the U.S. is going to enter a recession. You'll see stocks fall another 20%. Michael Burry, the guy who made all the money in The Great Short, he says, today I'm wondering if this could be worse than 2008. And Mohammed Elron said there is something about ready to break. And if the Fed continues to raise rates, you will see this break happen in the financial system. Everything I've been talking about. So there's a lot of pros out there. I can mention a dozen more names. They just keep coming out, keep saying it's not going to get any better for a while.
Yeah, and they're talking about 2023 being worse than 2022, and I don't know that many of us have the imagination for that. You mentioned stagflation. Just set that up real quick. We're going to hit the break in about a minute, but set up stagflation a little bit. You mentioned that we're headed into a season of that. What is that?
So stagflation is an economic cycle, Steve, that's characterized by slow growth, kind of what we're heading into, a high unemployment, which we're not there yet, but that's what the Fed wants, accompanied still by inflation, which is what we have. So the economic policymakers combined this combination. They said this is never going to happen. They said this in the early 70s, and boy, did it happen severely in the 1970s. And that's what they're saying. We're getting ready to repeat again.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think a lot of people are assuming that, you know, the Republicans are going to take control of Congress, at least the House. That would be enough to stop Biden legislatively. And that because of that, next year is going to be better. But I haven't heard anybody say that next year is going to be better. I want to keep talking about that and stagflation. We're talking to David Fisher. A little extra time today because David's going to be on a family vacation the next couple Mondays. Praise the Lord for that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Here we go.
From up above, you know you make my world light up. When I was down, when I was hurt, you came to lift me up.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Hope you're doing well. Hey, make sure you are in prayer over these elections over the next 8 days. It's a week from tomorrow. It's November 8th. And then, of course, all day. And then I think we should all be praying for clear victories all over the country. We don't need a repeat of what happened 2 years ago with the presidential election, all that big mess. This country does not need that problem right now. So just pray. We all need to be praying that the Lord would make it obvious, really across the country and especially at local levels. So we need to be in prayer for that. School board races, because our children are being misled all over the country. There's really a demonic influence there. Powers and principalities are having a field day with our kids, not just in school, but on social media and everything else. So we need to be fully engaged. Politics is a place that touches all of our neighbors. And because of that, as Christians, we absolutely have to be involved. If you think that Christians should have nothing to do with politics, then you're denying the call to love your neighbor as yourself. And you need to put that before the Lord because I'm just saying it on the authority of Scripture. You're wrong. That is not a conscience issue. Just like praying for those in authority over us is not an option. That's a command from Scripture. And we're commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. And you can see what's happening all over this country to our neighbors who are being misled. And we have an opportunity to speak that truth into that situation by voting. So make sure you do that. We're talking to our good friend David Fisher today, and David will be on vacation, spending some time away with family and his wife and friends. And so we're excited for you, David. Enjoy that. So we're doing a little extra time today, getting caught up with Money Monday. And we were talking about stagflation, and that's slow growth, high unemployment, and inflation. Obviously, slow growth, we're there. Inflation, we're there. But high unemployment, is that something that's on the radar screen? You were mentioning people like Ray Dalio and all these brilliant economists and investors. Are people looking for a change in the employment situation later this year or into next year, David?
Yeah, so unemployment's at 3.5%, really low. And there's several politicians, several economists are saying, you know, the last thing we want to do is cause high unemployment, because it's the people are going to lose their jobs is the people in the middle to lower income. And that's who are going to be affected, already is being affected the most. But that's what the Fed is wanting to do. They've said it's going to cause pain. And so they know that this is the roadmap that they've laid out, the plan. And we are going to see higher unemployment because they have to slow the economy down. And if less people work, and here's how it works. Simply, I don't like it, but here's how it works. If less people are working, less people are spending, less of a hotter economy, the economy cools down because they pull in their money, they don't spend as much, and that's what needs to happen. But so far, that's not happened. So the Fed is aggressively going to continue this rate hike until they see that data. But there's nothing that's showing that data. So that's why we're going to eventually have stagflation. But this stagflation is going to be completely different than one in the 70s. The economist, like Noel Rubini, is saying it's going to be the 70s stagflation was not a government high debt level. The debt was manageable.
Yep, that's right.
And there was not near as much money, dollars in the system. This time around, we have high debt that is unmanageable. Even more so will become that way with higher interest rates as the Fed raises it. So this is going to be a financial crisis that's going to get triggered because we'll have stagflation, less revenue to the government, a lot more debt to manage, which is already unmanageable, so it gets compounded and snowball. So he's saying, Norell is saying, today we have the worst the 1970s gave us. We have massive amount of stagflationary negative supply shock, and at the same time we have a debt ratio like we've never seen before.
That's right.
So get ready for a stagflationary debt crisis.
Yeah, and it's
what
he's
saying.
And it's so funny that we look at that and go, we don't have all the necessary things for stagflation by definition. But the country's in a different position than it's ever been at $31 trillion and climbing. And our like labor force participation rate, that's based on the total population, what percentage of workable people are actually working. That's been a big change in this country in the last 3 years. I just looked it up, David. We're at the lowest labor participation rate since 1977. So even though we've got this, we're so low on our unemployment, which Biden likes to talk about because they're going to talk about anything they can other than the realities on the ground. But they never talk about the labor force participation rate. And like I said, it's the worst that it's been since 1977. And there's just no good signs going on out there right now. There's nothing really to look forward to economically right now.
So make sure, here's a practical advice. Like I said, 10 months ago, I was saying, make sure you pay off your debt, your credit cards.
Right.
You know, home loans are a challenge. Don't have car loans if you can get by with it. But get your debt manageable, because as rates go up, it's going to become even more challenging.
Oh, yeah.
And as the incomes shrink, it just compounds things.
And then we've got another rate hike coming up this week, right? Did you say it could be 3/4 of a point?
there's a 98% chance there's a three-quarters of a point coming in 2 days.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It meets tomorrow, and they'll make the announcement the next day, and then there's a 50% chance it's a 60% rate hike happening in December.
Wow.
They want to get to, we're 2.5%. They want to get to 4.53%,
wow,
somewhere in there, 4.5%. It's going to maybe even happen and keep sustained all through next year because they're not seeing it actually work right now. And that's the problem that Kyle Bass, he's a big billionaire, he's a CIO of One River Asset Management, he says this is going to be totally different than what we've ever experienced,
wow,
because it's not working getting inflation under control this time.
Yeah, and I mean, 30-year fixed, the average rate right now on a home loan is about 7.5%, and if they're going to go from 2.5% to 4.5%, holy cow, we're looking at probably 10% home loans. I mean, we haven't seen that literally since the 1970s. Talk to us real quick, David, about oil. We haven't talked about that for a while. Oil and then a gold and silver update real quick, because I want to make sure people, we continue to beat this drum of diversification. We need to not have all our eggs in one bucket, especially with everything going on in the market right now.
So real quick, oil's been going sideways for the last couple of months, but gas is starting to turn upwards. Again, it's about ready to break out, and there's this thing called the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. It's a reserve that was established in 1975 by the government to regulate the price of oil, basically. And we've been filling up that reserve. It peaked at its highest level in 2010, and now we're at the lowest level since 1984.
Wow.
Biden has released 450 million barrels initially, and they just released another 450 million total, 180 million barrels in March. They just did on the 18th another 15 million. So this is his key to get this thing under control, flood the market with government subsidizing of oil. But it's not working. This is a political thing, maybe just to help create good revoting.
Right,
so
that's right.
Our SPR is at 40% less than 2 years. It's gone down 40%. And now the solution is, check this out, and we only have a few minutes to get off this topic and on the next one. There's 10 top Democrats urging the Biden administration to nationalize oil,
yep,
and gas industry. There's a guy by the name of Jason Bordoff. He just spoke at a Houston oil conference last week. He's the dean of Columbia University Climate School, and he's very well connected with the Biden administration. He is an energy expert, and he said twice in his speech, "I'm now calling for nationalization of our oil and gas companies." He also spoke last month at the World Economic Forum.
Oh, boy.
So he's a big boy speaking at that, and he's calling for the Great Reset to quickly now move into the fossil fuels and renewables. In other words, the government, the big brother, the whole world, you'll be happy when you have nothing,
right,
and we'll control everything for
right.
you. So they're coming after our money.
That's
they're
right.
coming after controlling free markets, free capital. So that's why it's important to not just have all your money in paper right now, because that is what they're going to control.
That's right. And there's definitely an agenda at play there when you look at the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. And whether you've got 100% understanding amongst all these liberals, not just here in America, but around the world, is irrelevant, because it's actually happening. There is a demonic agenda in all this. You cannot forget that there's a meta narrative, everybody. There is the story of Scripture, the overall trajectory of the world until Jesus comes back. You have to remember, no matter what's going on in the political realm, that plan is going to come to fruition. So you got to remember that as we deal with these things. So with respect to diversification, just real quick, David, a gold and silver update. We got about a minute and a half.
So the indexes in gold and silver are down a little bit, but the physical markets are up 7.5%. I'll just say this, Noriel Norbini again, he has said we're going to have a stagflationary debt crisis, and he is saying, this is the guy who used to head up the IMF, the Federal Reserve. He worked at the World Bank. He used to work for the government under the Obama administration and Clinton at the Treasury. He understands the financial industry, in other words. He is saying last week, get some gold. And he said, quote, investors need to have the asset like gold, because of what we will never have seen before is about ready to happen this debt crisis. So call my company, learn about that. We have a brand new white paper, fresh off the press. You got an old one on the bail-in. If you haven't called in the last month and got this new bail-in, you got old data. We got a whole bunch of new information. It will really help you understand how the government is after your money.
Well, make sure you send me a copy of the new one, David. That would be great. We'll talk about it on a future Money Monday. But if people want to get educated, they need to get educated about diversifying. How do they do that?
Simply call 844-604-2575. Again, 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
David Fisher, as always, God bless you, brother. Thank you for your time and your expertise. Have an awesome time. Aloha on your vacation. We'll talk to you real soon. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God bless you. I got to remind you that he's for you, right? He's not against you. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward. Hold on, David.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.